Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is All of It, and we've seen how protests can become dangerous for everyone involved. Protecting yourself and others during a protest is always important, but it's even more essential during a pandemic. The human rights NGO Amnesty International has published a list of safety guidelines on its website, which we will link to on our show page. And joining us now to share a guide for staying safe while protesting and knowing your rights is Ernest Coverson, the End Gun Violence Campaign Manager for Amnesty International USA. Ernest, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
I want to talk about, we'll talk about what to do, but let's talk about what not to do up top. You say don't put Vaseline, okay, mineral oil, oil-based sunscreen, moisturizers on your skin. Why is that?
Again, thank you. Using those type of materials, and there are tear gas or mace, that keeps it attached to the skin. Mm. And so the burn aspect, the effect of it will be intensified by having those additives on your skin, as the lotions, the oils, that kind of thing. So if you go out, keeping that kind of material off of you would help ease if there are any chemical additives in the air.
Same thing with contact lenses, I'm imagining.
Yeah, same thing. If you do wear contacts, remove contacts, and if you have, you know, eyeglasses, wear those, because the same way, if there is tear gas spray, mace spray, it will most definitely affect your vision, and so it will just be intensified by having contact lenses as well.
Let's talk about our smartphones. Mm-hmm. How can you protect yourself if you bring your smartphone with you, and also how can your smartphone become an issue for you?
Protecting yourself, most definitely. If you're able, if you are able to use your smartphone recording what's going on, making sure that if you are being safe with it, letting folks know as you're recording things where you are, what the time is, mm-hmm. Where your location is, what's going on around you, so that if you're able to share that information via social media, via, forwarding it over to other folks, we can have a better track record of what took place, where you were at the time, et cetera. But most definitely only do that if it's safe for you to do it. I mean, the biggest piece is for you physically to be safe in those situations.
What about tracking and location data? Is that a positive or a negative?
It's a positive as well, but, if you're able to do that, as having, like, on most cell phones, you're able to have your location and that kind of thing tracked, having that system on. But, sometimes in these situations, they may block that. Technology may get blocked when there's mass protests as well. So, again, if you are, doing any recording, that's why we say to make sure you state that in mm-hmm. those recordings, so it can be, easily tracked at a later date and followed up on.
My guest is Ernest Coverson from Amnesty International. We're talking about protesting safely. So people obviously are wearing masks because of COVID, but Amnesty also mm-hmm. suggests wearing goggles. What else should you wear?
Longer sleeves, if you're going out. Look at trying to wear long sleeves to protect, again, your skin. If you're not wearing a mask, wearing a bandana, a wet bandana around your face, around your mouth, that also helps to deter those chemical agents that may get sprayed as well that way. So anything that could keep your body covered as much as possible is always suggested.
I think, I've seen a couple of things going around the internet, so I wanted to get your take on them. You mentioned a wet bandana, and there are some people who say you should soak it in water, lemon juice, or vinegar.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know about that and why we do this?
I mean, just for the heat, but then it also helps to deter, again, those chemical agents by having it soaked and not just a dry piece of cloth around your face. But that wetness and dampness helps to deter the chemical agents from staying on, coming through the through the material directly into your lungs, into your mouth, etc.
Here's another one. There are a lot of photos of baking soda and milk on social media for people who've been sprayed mm-hmm. with tear gas. Does that actually yeah. work, or is there something else people should be bringing with them?
But yeah, it does. Those, any kind of like milk type of product, if you're able to do that, Maalox in water helps to wash and flush out those chemical deterrents from your orifices, in your, you know, your orifices of your face. And mm-hmm. so any of those type of materials, yes, they do work. We utilized, and folks utilize most recently in Ferguson as well. And so it does work, and we do suggest folks to utilize that when they go out.
And this also from the internet, that you should disable your tracking data because it can be used for surveillance, or the police can use it against you if you're arrested? Does that sound right?
And it's according to what, you know, if you're peaceful protesting, you know, if you're peaceful protesting and out, you know, that tracking could, you know, it could be used for good and bad, right? Everything could be used for good and bad. And so we say if you're out peaceful protesting, that tracking helps us to continue to identify you, to be identified if something goes wrong in that peaceful protest, versus looking at it as if with the police tracking you for anything like that. But it also can be used to track if we need to retrace steps mm-hmm. in something that happens while you're out doing some peaceful protesting as well.
My guest is Ernest Coverson, campaign manager for End Gun Violence at Amnesty International. We're talking about things we can do to protest safely. Amnesty offers a detailed list of fundamental human rights to be aware of during a protest. So let's talk about a couple. What if the police ask you to move? What are your rights?
Your rights are to continue to assemble. Your rights are continue to be in place. You know, if they are moving the entire crowd, if they have set up perimeters, you want to be as much as possible legal in that situation. But you still have that right to protest. You still have that right to peacefully assemble in that space. And so it's really gauging what that moment is looking like for the protest.
Let's talk about excessive force. We've seen videos of this on social media. We've heard about it anecdotally. In Brooklyn, there were police officers driving cars into a group. There's one video of police officers driving car into a group of protesters. What do you do if you find yourself injured by a police officer?
If you find yourself injured by the police officer, again, first most is your safety and health. And so that's mm-hmm. getting from that space. Again, if you are, or if a friend is there that's able to do any recording to, again, get that time, place, that officer's information, the traditional thought of getting badge number, et cetera, if possible. But then also getting yourself out safely and to some type of medical attention in that type of situation of any abuse from police officers as well.
There's the freedom from arbitrary arrest and detention. What should you do should you be arrested? What's good to know?
It's good to know is to, you know, going out, making sure that you have like a number either written on your arm or your hand that you can call to get, you know, because if that happens, if you are arrested, your phone is going to get confiscated. Any ID or that kind of thing will probably be confiscated. And so in this time of, you know, cell phones, people don't remember phone numbers many times. Mm-hmm. So make sure you have a number written, like say on your arm, on your hand, that you can be able to get access and let someone know where you are, where you're being held, et cetera, in case you are arrested in that process.
And you have the right to complain if your rights have been violated. What can you
Correct.
Can you do to ensure that you get to, that you get to do this and that it will be taken seriously?
Yeah, and that's, you know, a lot of organizations are out that are, you know, you have a lot of legal organizations that are that during these times of protesting that are out providing legal services, you do have, just because it is a protest, you know, that does not negate any of your legal, your municipality's legal obligation to provide information, to provide you legal due process. And so if you do find yourself in that, you can complain, connect with some of these legal services that are providing legal observers, et cetera, where they can take down the information, file that official report, and then do follow up with the police force, with that local municipality on your behalf as well. Don't let it just go by the wayside just because it's the protest time. You still have your continued legal rights in protest time and outside of protest time.
Amnesty also has a list of good practice for law enforcement officials, and the key words there are facilitate, protect, and de-escalate. Where have we seen examples of police and law enforcement acting appropriately during these protests, facilitating, protecting, and de-escalating?
Right. I mean, there's been a few that, you know, that I've seen as of recently where some of the police officers have engaged with the protesters and had conversations and provided communication with the protesters that eliminated many times some of that escalation and built that relationship with the protesters across the board so that they can just help facilitate that peaceful march, that peaceful rally. They protect them from those outside agitators that may be there to antagonize those protesters as well. And so, as you may have seen it in some of the news, these police officers and police departments have engaged with those protesters to do that, to build that that trust, per se, at this moment, that they are there to do their job of serve and protect while the protesters are there to do their job of protesting.
And I know this seems like a bit of an obvious one, but I think there's more to it than just what's on the site. You say it's important to plan ahead of time. Mm-hmm. What are some things you should consider in your plan?
Just, you know, from a point of view, you know, where you're going, how you're going to get there, you know, any potential hazardous activities, any potential outside agitators as well. Again, having that communication with that local law enforcement, if that is a viable conversation to have, so that the folks that you have out coming to do the protest, it won't be in danger, and then everyone can be held accountable to what their part of the process is, and that's the police to protect and serve, and the protesters to do their thing as a protester.
And you also suggest that you go with somebody or a group of friends. What should you discuss with your friends before you go?
Again, exit plan. You get separated from each other, where is a meeting place? That central phone number, again, if folks get separated, that there's a phone number outside of that group that you go with that everyone can contact back at home where to let everybody know folks are secure, we're good, or you need to come pick us up, et cetera, from our meeting location.
And I'm curious, you know, what can we learn from the protests that we've seen? What do you think some of the lessons are in terms of safety, in terms of efficacy?
I think the lesson learned is that there still needs to be, you know, great communication between community and law enforcement. There needs to be continued communication in how do we not escalate situations where citizens are peacefully protesting, where folks are exercising their right. And these things need to happen when we're not in the middle of that protest and that situation, but needs to take place prior to, so that when we have these type of protests, mass protests, that all the pieces are in place and we don't have police then now escalating it themselves and providing this militaristic type of response to folks in their communities.
I've been speaking with Ernest Coverson from Amnesty International USA. Ernest, thank you for all the good information. We appreciate it.
Thank you very much.